This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Have you ever wondered just how many ways there are to say that word? Or who really swears the most, and why some cultures get more creative than others when they curse? Well, a massive new study has sifted through more than a billion words of online writing to find out how we use swearing to express ourselves, connect with others, and sometimes just let off steam. Well, joining us is Professor of Linguistics at Monash University, Kate Burridge. Kate, welcome back to Drive.
Thank you very much.
Now, this study looked at more than 1.7 billion words online. Mm-hmm. What were you hoping to uncover about swearing from the study?
Well, I should emphasise that this was the brainchild of my potty-mouthed co-researcher, Martin Schweinberger, who learned his English on a building site somewhere in Ireland.
Oh.
He's always been fascinated by swearing and why he wasn't taught it in English class in Germany. So he's what's called a corpus linguist, so he can manage these giant databases. In this case, as you said, more than 1.7 billion words of online language. So we looked at this because we wanted to look at all of the different English varieties around the world that we could get access to. So that was 20 different varieties of English, some of the usual ones, the usual suspects, Australian English, of course, British English and American English, but also, Pakistani English, Hong Kong, Ghana, Philippines, etc. So we came out with, the top swearing nation was not Australia.
Who was it, Kate?
It was American English.
Oh,
was
really?
Right on top.
Oh, wow.
And the set. Yes, I know. It's surprising, isn't it? Because we think that Americans hold quite, conservative attitudes towards public morality, and yet here they are right on the top.
So for
and a British English second, and then Australian third.
So we have a bit of a reputation, don't we, for being potty mouthed. I love that term.
Gorgeous, isn't it?
It's like potty mouth. But so we're more restrained. Is that just online, or is it in person when we're talking?
It's a really good question. Yes, it's because we're now following it up with looking at face-to-face data, and we are up there with face-to-face swearing, and American English drops then. So it is something to do with the online environment. American swearing behavior is part of their kind of, I suppose, a nation that values personal expression, but in private and anonymous settings like the internet, not face to face. Because remember when that crazy ad that we had, where the bloody hell are you?
The tourism.
Where the bloody hell are
you?
It got banned, in the States, and it got censored, I think, in the UK. In Singapore. Now, bear in mind, too, that Singapore English was fourth on our list.
And they censored it.
Yes, they actually had it on a billboard but took out the offensive words. So it is really interesting that you get these differences. Australians love swear words. We wear them like emblems on a T-shirt. We put them out on billboards. Drink, drive, bloody it is. And those signs really strike visitors as very, very odd.
There's something, though, about swearing. I mean, I can sit here in front of a microphone and control what comes out and I don't swear. But, if I'm hammering a nail and I hit my thumb, I mean, something will come out of my mouth that's a swear word. What is it? Why is it that there's that automatic reflex as though there's a cabinet full of swear words that are just in the top drawer and it grabs
that's
one
right.
of those?
Your brain dives. That's right. Exactly. And it does make you feel better. And there's plenty of research now to show that, swearers lead less stressful lives. If you put people in stressful situations and tell them they can't swear, they'll get more stressed. Your swearing helps alleviate pain. It makes you stronger. Plenty of research on that.
Oh.
There's the famous ice water experiment. Do you remember that? Because I think Stephen Fry replicated it on telly, which was, a number of people plunging their arm into ice-cold water and had to hold it there for as long as they could. And then they were given a word of their choice, just an ordinary word, and then they had to repeat it, poor things, and with a swear word of their choice, and they could keep their arm in longer with the swear word. However, I should add to that if you're an habitual swearer, that effect diminishes. So
Kate, get the same effect. I was at the gym today and I was talking to someone and he said, you've got to try the cold showers in the morning. And I've promised him that I'm going to do a cold shower tomorrow. So if you hear swearing right across Melbourne, you know where it's coming from.
Well, let be, and you'll be able to stay a lot longer under that shower. And also, since you're in the gym, the same fellow that did that research also put people on a sort of half-minute bike challenge, I think. And their peak power, if they cursed their way through this bike challenge, their peak power rose by 24 watts on average. And they also did a grip task, so a 10-second grip task. They had to squeeze some sort of, I don't know what sort of thing it was. But anyway, swearers boosted their strength by 2.1 kilograms.
So there's a power, there's an energy there.
There is, and that comes from the taboos. You know, the swear words draw from society's taboos, whatever goes bump in the night for society. And so, of course, you know, taboo is dynamic and swearing is dynamic too.
That's it. We could solve the world's energy crisis. We could just get everyone in a room, we all swear, harness the energy. I wonder how many light
what
bulbs.
What a fabulous idea, yeah.
Now, let's talk about the big word, the F word. It takes out top spot. There are how many variations of that around the world?
Well, on our in our collection, there were 201, I think, different versions of that word. And I should add that there was another study that came out about the same time as ours, actually even bigger, 7.8 billion words, looking only at Twitter data. And it showed the same ranking, and it only looked at the F word. So it showed the same ranking. Americans on top. So this is social media data, which we didn't look at. But Americans on top, Brits second, and Australians third. And also, but you know, and this may be a comfort to many people, we were the most expressive with the F word in this study. And we were also very expressive in the study we looked at.
We're chatting with Professor Kate Burridge from Monash University, whose new research has analysed over a billion words of online language to find out how the world swears. Kate, swearing, we've spoken about, I suppose, the energy in it, but it can feel deeply emotional too, and it also serves some social functions. What are some of the hidden benefits, I suppose, of letting loose socially with a well-timed swear word?
In fact, that's, you know, all of the swearing studies that have been carried out, including ones I've done with Keith Allen, earlier studies, show that the most usual function for swearing is indeed this sort of social swearing. So it does, you know, swear words act a bit like social glue, you know, sticking the gang together, part of verbal cuddling or simply friendly banter or, you know, when you're in a relaxed environment. And, of course, particularly in Australia, because we love our colloquialisms, you know, we've got a deep love affair with the vernacular and swearing is part of that. So it always has been. Right from the beginning, you know, when English first appeared in this country, a lot of the visitors commented that, you know, there was that, well, that they were just bowled over by the amount of swearing. But what was interesting was that a number of people commented that the Australian English speakers didn't mean anything much by those swear words. So, you know, it was a part of the verbal cuddling back then too.
That's interesting. You mentioned Singapore before being up there. Was it number four, did you say, on the list?
Four, yes.
Four.
The Irish are outraged, by the way. The Irish are demanding a recount because they're way down below.
I'm surprised that the Singaporeans are prolific swearers. Is swearing becoming more global or more localized in expression?
Well, it's interesting with Singapore English because I think it shows you how English has changed there. It's, you know, it's no longer a second language. It's a, you know, for many people, a first language or a second first language. And so it's now moving into the more colloquial environments. But you know, so it's, you know, a tool for identity and belonging and creativity. But also a number of young Singaporeans have commented online that they use this kind of social swearing to kind of push back against the authority. Because, you know, the government is fairly, you know, has fairly strict rules on public language, as shown with our, you know, "Where the Bloody Hell Are You?" which, you know, appeared on the billboard, but without those words.
Did they just say, "Where are you?"
Yes, I think so.
Kate,
kind of lost it.
Now, I don't know how you're going to answer this question, but I want to ask you. So if we look at the top three countries, the US, UK and Australia, what's the number one word in each of those?
I think it was the F word in all its different That was the most frequent vulgar word.
So
yes, we had a list. I mean, it was a blunt tool. You know, we had a list of vulgarisms that often are used for, you know, online censorship. But we did miss out a lot, particularly in countries like, you know, Singapore or Jamaica, where they can draw on local languages as well for their, you know, colourful language. Mm. And they do. But of course, those words wouldn't have appeared in our list. So, you know, it's a bit rough in spots. I fess up to that.
Potty mouth Professor Kate Burridge, it's been great to chat with you.
Good to chat to you too. Thank you.
Thank you so much. That's Professor Kate Burridge, a linguist from Monash University.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.